Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day with a goal of motivating and informing listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on 3 regional stations in Florida and Georgia. Dr. Youngblood's expository preaching is heard on 2 stations in Ohio and Virginia, as well as Brunswick, Georgia, St. Augustine, and Jacksonville, Florida. There's now a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities, and we sincerely need your help to accomplish this mission. Your support in any amount is needed to take this next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale. Please go to fcbcatjax.com and click the donation button, or send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258. Attention Radio.
Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about today a subject that I believe should pique the interest of every child of God, every Christian, every conservative, every patriot, for that matter. We need to recognize what God is doing. And for a nation that said no to God, for a nation that's banned the Bible, banned prayer, banned the Word of God, and basically kicked God out of the halls of Congress, it was Jerry Nadler that several months ago, one of the U.S. representatives in the House, Jerry Nadler said, as one of the Congress people were reading from the scripture, they were dealing with the House Bill 5, that was the Sodomite Equality Act, they called it, and the congressman was reading from the scripture and Romans text about how God says no to that kind of action, and Jerry Nadler screeched, God's word, the Bible, has no place in the halls of Congress. And so when you ban God in the classrooms, you kick God out of the halls of Congress, and somehow, some way, think that God's going to continue to allow it to happen, it is contrary to the word of God.
Amen.
In fact, many people, Pastor, do not believe that God hates anything. That in fact, this Sodomite agenda says all love is God, and so all love is okay. I'm looking at Proverbs chapter 6, verse 16 and following, says, these 6 things that the Lord hate, yea, 7 are an abomination unto him: a proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood. What would abortion be other than hands that are shedding innocent blood? Proud look, a lying tongue, and heart that devises wicked imaginations, feet that be swift to running into mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among the brethren. Ladies and gentlemen, that's outlining what God hates, and you can take, Pastor, you can take that outline of the 7 things there that God hates, and you can apply it to all that we see taking place on a national level today.
Amen.
In the United States of America. Ladies and gentlemen, if God judged Israel, and he did, and other nations around Israel, and according to the Old Testament text, he did. We could go from Bible book to Bible book to Bible book and find over and over and over again God's word going forth to the nation of Israel and the other nations. And as they would embrace it, God would bless them. As they would deny it and reject it, God would curse them and would bring them into bondage. And ladies and gentlemen, I think that what we're watching across America today is God's progressive judgment on a nation that said no to God.
Amen.
Ladies
Amen.
And gentlemen, Genesis, the 19th chapter, verses 4 and 5, talks about that very thing, and that's one of the key things that we're finding today in the United States of America. Pastor, I'm going to take a moment, read a couple of verses, then we're going to dialogue about it. In
Amen.
Genesis 19, verse 4 and 5, but before they lay down, the men of the city, even the men of Sodom, compassed the house round about, both old and young, all the people from every quarter. And they called out to Lot and said unto him, where are the men which came in this night? Bring them unto us that we may know them, That is a euphemism for sexual relationship.
Amen.
And ladies and gentlemen, in the 19th chapter of Genesis, verse 24 and 25, then the Lord rained upon Sodom and upon Gomorrah brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven, and he overthrew those cities and all the plain and all the inhabitants of the cities that which grew upon the ground. Ladies and gentlemen, what the scripture is saying is God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah and all the cities about it because of the sodomite relationship. That's called today Pride Week. It's called today Gay Pride. It's called today by some homosexuality. I believe, ladies and gentlemen, one of the greatest stenches in the nostrils of God is that sodomite lifestyle that's being embraced by our schools, embraced by our educators, embraced by our president, embraced by the majority of the legislators on both sides of the aisle, embraced by the media today, embraced by all of the corporate big boxes. In fact, today we have Oreo cookies that's being marketed with the LGBTQ sodomite colors. We have today Taco Bell, ladies and gentlemen, that's having the drag queen shows in the Taco Bell stores. We have Burger King that's now, for the Pride Month, they have made a gay Pride Burger King burger. Walmart stores that's embracing with their ads and with their advertisements, they're embracing the sodomite lifestyle. Pizza Hut marketing books that's for ages 3 years old and up that embrace and glorify the sodomite lifestyle. Today we have Comcast. Ladies and gentlemen, I could just name them all across the nation. We have the big box stores, the large corporate entities, all of which are embracing the sodomite lifestyle and saying that it's okay. I'm looking at an article that says seven things that God hates. There are many today who will repeat the only things they've ever been taught in church, that God is love, that God does not judge. Most people today, being biblically illiterate, will also mix cultural ideas with Scripture, believing them to be Scripture. Such ideas as social justice, the critical race theory, the LGBTQ slogan, love is love and my body is my choice, to name just a few. Biblical illiteracy is shamefully prevalent and getting worse. Hating what God hates is Bible, and our pastors, this writer says today, will not teach that from the pulpits.
Amen.
Pastor,
Amen.
Therein lies the problem, and I believe it's as a result of spineless preachers, as a result of false teachers, as a result of, as one of our callers talked about, letting the false teachers come into the churches. We've been deceived and infiltrated. I believe as a result of that, if nothing else, if we were not faced with anything else, I believe God would judge America based on what His Word says about God's holiness and God's purity and allowing this to come into our society in America today.
Amen. Amen. Well, here's a word, Dr. Youngblood, that I shared with my church on Tuesday night Bible study. And I think this is going to fit the same frame that we're speaking about now. Here's what God said to His people through the prophet Hosea. Hosea chapter 4 and beginning at verse number 1. First thing He said, hear the word of the Lord, ye children of Israel.
Mm-hmm.
He's speaking out to His people.
Mm-hmm.
That word hear means listen with the intent to obey.
Yes.
God doesn't ever intend for you to hear His word and not obey it.
That's right.
I even heard Dr. Phelps say, whenever there's an altar call made in the church, we need to respond.
Right.
You don't need to sit there like you don't need nothing from God.
Mm-hmm.
Now, okay, if you don't need nothing, you're in good shape. Fine. Okay.
I don't know if anybody that doesn't know.
If you don't, I'm telling you, but it's sad because that's how lightly people take God's word on today. But He said, for the Lord has a controversy with the inhabitants of the land. That's everyone that's living on the face of the earth. God has a case against you. Now listen, He said, because there is no truth, nor mercy, nor knowledge of God in the land.
Yes.
This is what He spoke through the prophet Hosea, first to His people, to warn them. He was unhappy because there was no truth, nor mercy, nor knowledge of God in the land. And listen how He say now, this is why it's not there. Verse number 2. By swearing and lying. That word and is a conjunction, so that means all that stuff is going together.
Yes.
Sin is getting worse and worse and worse. In other words, can I say worse and worse?
Worse.
That's what the old people
said. Little boy said, more worse.
My God. Amen. So He said, by swearing and lying and killing, and stealing and committing adultery, they break out and blood toucheth blood. Look at that. We're living in a bloody land.
Mm-hmm.
We see these mass shootings all over the place, and our hearts are crushed by this.
Yes.
But what are we doing? Are we spiritually repenting and telling God that we are sorry for turning against him and trying to get back on the right track so that he will ease up with his judgment over this land? Or are we just going to compromise with sin and tell the LGBTQ people and all these others, don't get me wrong, we don't want to beat the person up, but it's the lifestyle.
It's the lifestyle.
God desires for even them to repent.
But we're
telling them it's okay.
What you're touching on and saying is that we have become desensitized to sin in the nation today.
Amen.
And as a result of that, we're getting deeper and deeper in the quagmire that's bringing about a greater and greater judgment of God upon us as a nation.
Amen.
God's law is given through, when you look at the scripture, given through Moses, and he promised judgment upon Israel and its kings when they turned against God. In fact, ladies and gentlemen, let me give you a biblical principle. The leadership of a nation will make the difference in the direction of the nation to God or from God.
Amen.
And we're
Amen.
Watching today the leadership and the Beltway of D.C. is leading our nation against God. And because of biblical illiteracy in the pulpits and in the pews in America, we're watching our nation progressively being judged by God. I believe we have Greg on the line. Greg, go over the question or comment, please.
You know, I've been kind of analyzing where we're at as a nation, as Christianity, Christendom within the United States. You articulated some facts and figures moments ago about the lack of a biblical worldview within the pulpits, within leadership, within our churches. And we're seeing that play out in, the Presbyterian Church, the Methodist Church, even within Baptist churches, all these different denominations where they've started to give ground and give ground and give ground, particularly on things like this LGBTQIAP, lifestyle. And I just had a young man that on Facebook, he posted a Bible verse from Leviticus dealing with, man shall not lie with man as with a woman. And he was immediately scolded by a family member. And even those that within the family were believers said, the Bible says, judge not lest you be judged. How many people have misquoted that, even within Christendom, and bought the lie that we're not to ever identify sin as sin? When God identifies it as sin, and we point to what God has identified as sin, that's not an inappropriate judgment. It's not a final judgment condemnation that's left to God. When we do have God's judgment, God's determination of sin in the Scripture, just quote the Scripture. It's not better than somebody by quoting that, but if you don't quote that, then you've not warned them. And I suppose I look at the Galatians 3 verse that says that the law was to be our schoolmaster. What does it say in 3:24? Basically, that brings us to a need for the Savior. That brings us to a need for redemption. If a person doesn't know that what I'm doing is sinful and that there's a payment for the sins, then there's no desire for them to seek redemption. No desire for them to seek the Messiah, our Savior, our Lord and Savior. It just doesn't. Why has the church so abandoned the truth?
My.
That's exactly what we see taking place today. By the way, ladies and gentlemen, this is Greg, one of our four sons. He lives up in the southern tip of heaven. Greg, how is the weather in the southern tip of heaven today?
You could not ask for a more beautiful day. We got unlimited visibility. The only thing that would be better than my view right now out into the mountains would be in a little airplane and flying over these jokers, because you get to see all the little contours and twists and turns and nooks and crannies. But it's absolutely phenomenal. Folks, don't ever visit East Tennessee, because you'll never want to leave.
Greg, thank you for your input and for your call. And Greg, do you see, just a question, I'll let you go. Do you see what is taking place with our banning the Bible in school back in the 60s, banning prayer in the school back in the 60s, and then ultimately banning the pledge to the flag, and now the CRT, the critical race theory, dividing us racially and ethnically. You find the LGBTQ where they're indoctrinating our sons and our daughters and our grandkids in the public schools. Do you see that as a progressive devolution of morals and ethics and values in our nation? And then the question that I want to ask you, how long before God will allow his judgment to fall completely and wipe us out as a nation or bring us into bondage? If he took Israel into bondage to other nations, do we stand in jeopardy from Russia or China? What is the potentiality of the possibility with those things from your view?
God, throughout the course of history, we saw it over and over and over and over and over with Israel. God has used other nations to bring judgment on his people. It seemed like every 20 years or every 40 years, they were right back into it, you know, Israel was. And we've kind of fallen into that for the past 117 years. And I use that because around 1905, 1906, 1907, we just really got into full swing with this government-controlled school, public schools, we called it. They're government-controlled schools. Christians, for the most part, abandoned the process. And you fast forward, you know, 55 or 60 years. So in the 60s, they started kicking God out of the classroom, kicking the Bible out of the classroom, kicking prayer out of the classroom, right down the list. Now, the Bible was used as a primary textbook early on. Just about every church house was a schoolhouse. Just about every community had a church house that their little children went down to be trained academically. And they had Webster's Primer or Webster's Primer as a primary textbook, and they had the Bible. I want you to grab either one of those and start reading through, and guess what? You get the gospel of Jesus Christ, both directions. And we've devolved to the point now that God, the Bible, prayer has been kicked out of the classroom. Anytime something goes horribly awry, you have lost people, atheists, agnostics, that say, if there was a God, if there was a kind, loving, goodly God, why would he let this happen? And you go, hold on a second. By kicking God out of all these spaces, you've allowed it to happen. Do you not understand? Do you not understand? But then for the believer, when you fail to follow the dictates of the scripture, you ask for these things. I think the problem in America did not start because of Islamists or because you know, radical LGBTQIAP, you know, that whether we call it grooming or indoctrination or whatever. The problem started because Christians abandoned the square. Christians, yes, abandoned academia. You know, when we look at 2 Timothy 4, 2 through 4, preach the word. This is a charge. Preach the word. Be instant in season and out of season. What does it say? Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. You know, we know that when Jesus answered Satan when he was being tested in the wilderness, he quoted scripture. I'm not asking for somebody to give their opinion. But if you're a believer and you believe what the word of God has to say, just share from the scripture with love. We don't need to beat anybody up. This the same gospel, the same truth that brought us to Jesus Christ can bring these folks to Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Just sharing the truth in love consistently.
Amen. Greg, thank you so much for that input. You're exactly right. And we're watching the progressive judgment of God falling upon America. And as you said, it goes back to the house of God, the pastors, the pulpits in America that I believe stands responsible for where we are in the nation. Jeremiah, the book of Jeremiah, called them the ones that were the shepherds. And the shepherds in the book of Jeremiah spoke twofold of the spiritual leaders and the political leaders. And the direction that the spiritual and political leaders go, that's the direction of a nation. Greg, thank you so much. Thank you for calling. Love you. Praise the Lord for you. And keep on serving.
Love you. Appreciate it. Appreciate you, amen, and Pastor Davis today. Y'all go have a beautiful day, even though you're in Jacksonville.
Thank you.
That's all right.
Thank you. Pastor, as I look at Deuteronomy chapter 27 to 28, it's called the chapter of blessings and the chapter of cursings. And you find the chapter of blessings where God says over and over and over, if you do this, I'll bless you. If you do this, I'll bless you. If you do this, basically, if you love me, if you follow me, if you're obedient to me, I'm going to bless you. And then in the 28th chapter, it's the cursings chapter. If you fail to obey me, if you fail to follow me, if you're disobedient to me, I'm going to curse you as a nation.
Amen.
So, ladies and gentlemen, we're watching the progressive unfurling of God's cursings, God's blessings upon America, in my most humble opinion. For example, Pastor, we're dealing with today the food famine, the food famine. Some look at it on the basis that baby formula is short. Some look at it on the basis with other food items being in short supply. But ladies and gentlemen, we've not seen anything yet. One of the major global international leaders in banking and finance from the World Bank just yesterday said that we're watching a major coming of super inflation and a major deficit and food supplies and shortages on every hand. And ladies and gentlemen, my wife and I were talking about it just yesterday. I've never in my lifetime, and I'm still under 100 years of age, I've never heard in my lifetime national and international political, financial leaders speaking what they're saying today about the future, not only nationally, but internationally. And I believe it's the progressive hand of God. We're watching today with the food famine, as I call it, where baby formula, flour, meal, veggies, meats, and other key needs for sustenance of human beings. It's on a major shortage. As a result of the war in Ukraine, Pastor, 30% of the world's wheat supply comes out of Ukraine.
Amen.
Right now, farmers are not able to plant their crops properly because of not having the fertilizer that comes out of Ukraine. Right today, ladies and gentlemen, it's not all Ukraine's problem. It's not all Russia's problem. It's God on his throne that's bringing this about because he is immutable. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is unchangeable, and he's going to use these things, i.e. the food shortage, the famine that's going to take place progressively in America to get our attention. Can you imagine, Pastor, coming to the point where a person does not have the food to put on the table before his family? And can you imagine the need that they will see then to turn back to God? I believe that's what God is doing.
Amen.
And I believe it's on the fast track today.
Amen.
I believe we have Tom on the line. Tom, go with the question or comment, please.
Yes, sir. Dr. Youngblood, thank you for taking my call, and thank you for all the diligence you give to the broadcast. It's also good to hear Dr. Davis back today.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Dr. Youngblood, I called and pledged $500 for a suit to stop this march or across, I think it's the Acosta Bridge, or to see if we couldn't have Christian groups be able to use the bridge. And a really good friend of mine, he's ordained, and he said, Tom, stay out of that. And I said, well, what do you mean? He said, those people are only 1.5% of the population. But, Tom, they are 100% indwelt by Satan.
Mm-hmm.
He said that's where they get their power. That's where they get their finances. And he said, you don't want to go and get involved in that. He said, let God defeat them, just like he did at Sodom and Gomorrah. Dr. Emma, do you think that was good advice?
Yes and no. Here's the reason. I believe we need to be salt and light. Salt is a preservative. Light is an illuminating factor that we preserve the decay in society, and we preserve and present the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Right now, the problem in America today is that for too long, Christians have been silent with the attitude, and I don't say this in a bad fashion, with the attitude of so many pulpits, well, we're just going to preach Jesus. We're not going to tell anybody else about sin. We're not going to tell anybody about what's happening with the sodomite lifestyle. We're not going to say anything about any political issue that we might get in trouble for. We're just going to be focused on telling people about Jesus. That's all right, but that's a half-truth. We need to tell people about Jesus, but we need to warn people of wickedness to come. We need to be the watchman on the wall that's found in Ezekiel 33, verses 1 and following. We need to be able to stand up and speak up, be heard, be seen, and warning danger ahead. The
Amen.
Problem that we
Amen.
Have today and what we're talking about today in relationship to God's judgment is because of that very thought that very mindset that you're speaking of, that pastors are saying and Christians are saying, well, we're not to judge, we're not to say anything, let God just sort it all out. No, it'll be, if we wait until then, God's judgment is going to come. We can retard that judgment, we can restrain that judgment by turning back to God and honoring God if we do so today. So,
amen.
Brother, you're
amen.
Exactly right.
And then, Dr. Youngblood, there's no such a thing as neutral ground.
That's right.
That's the problem.
Absolutely.
So many want to stand neutral, and they don't want to say, oh, well, I don't want to be named amongst the group that caused the stir, you stir up these people and that kind of stuff. All I did was cause trouble, and you know, I don't want to be named in that particular group. Can I say a word like they used to say, like the people used to say in the church a long time ago?
Yes.
God don't need no coward soldiers.
That's right.
Amen. Amen.
Tom, you're Amen. Exactly right, brother. So keep on standing up, speaking up. Don't ever turn your back. The Apostle Paul says, having done all, stand. That means to dig in the cleats. Don't turn, don't bend, don't sit, don't run, and don't shy away from it. But stand and face the battle. That's what the Christian soldier is supposed to do.
Amen.
Tom, thank you so much, brother, for your call and for your input.
Dr. Youngblood, I'd like to increase my match to $1,000. You know, I said I'd give $500 to whoever wants to go and get this suit filed and fight this. So I'd like to increase that to $1,000.
For those that may not know what Tom is speaking of, the LGBTQ, the sodomite agenda that's taking place now, our tax money is paying to light the Acosta Bridge with the sodomite lighting. Our tax money is paying for the police officers to be able to guard the traffic and hold the traffic back so that they can have their sodomite march across the Acosta Bridge. And I believe that there needs to be there's a need for Christians to stand up and file an injunction against the sodomites and stop the city from allowing that to take place. It's the Florida Transportation Department of Transportation. It's the Jacksonville Department of Transportation that the two together have decided that they can do that. We don't have Christian parades. We don't have Easter parades. We don't have Christian parades where they will do that in recognition of Christians, Christ, or his birthday. So I'm challenging our listeners again, Brother Tom, if you want to participate in that, you're willing to put your money where your mouth is, and you're willing to be part of that, let me know, let Tom know, so that we can take the stand that I believe God would be honored with. Tom, our time's about out, but thank you so much, brother, for your call and for your input on that. Ladies and gentlemen, there is an answer.
Amen.
And that answer is to turn back to God and to honor God and allow God to be on the throne in your life and in my life. In fact, when you look at the book of Romans, you find out that God has turned them over to a reprobate mind.
Amen. Amen.
Pastor, that gives an idea of what God does with a nation that said no to God.
Amen.
To turn them over means to release them, to reject them, to allow them to go their own way without God. We've got about 30 seconds. Pastor, wrap it up with your final thoughts.
Amen. Let us be reminded, amen, of the scripture that says in the book of Hebrews chapter 12, see that ye refuse not him that speaketh. For if they escape not who refuse him that spake on earth, much more shall we not escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven. We're speaking about God. He's not trying to speak. He is speaking. His voice is echoing all throughout the earth.
But are we hearing?
Let us have listening ears and attentive hearts.
Amen. 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 Thank you for that. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us on this broadcast today. Looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as once again we face the issues.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida. Located 1 mile south of I-295, FCBC invites you to tune in nightly 9 to 10 for expository preaching on 91.3, 91.7, and 91.9 FM. You're invited to worship with them. A reminder, CTU is now enrolling students for next semester. Ask about first semester scholarships. Call 1-800-GO-BIBLE.